Well, my name is David Pitt. It is a real privilege to be here with you this morning. I realise that at the beginning I probably didn't explain exactly what the City Bible Forum does, in case you're brand new to this church and to hearing about the City Bible Forum. We are a network of Christians that want to work in partnership with churches around Brisbane so that Jesus might be known in workplaces in particular. That's what we do. And because a lot of the workplaces in Brisbane, by no means all, but a lot are in the CBD, we do a lot of our ministry there. And so that's a little bit about kind of who we are and what we do. It's a real privilege to be here again. We were here last year, and we really do see Acacia Ridge Presbyterian Church as a partner church with us. We feel like in many ways you get what we're doing, which is a real encouragement to us, and Weber and the elders have been a great support. So thank you for your partnership. And I believe what we're doing here today is actually really significant. There's something really significant about thinking about the places that God has us. So let me ask you, what brought you to Brisbane? What brought you to Brisbane? Why are you here? Some of you will say, well, I was born here. That's what brought me to Brisbane. I arrived in a womb. And, well, that's okay. Keep thinking with me. What keeps you here then? Why are you still here in Brisbane? Now, some of you, particularly the younger folk, might say, well, my parents are here, so I kind of have to be here. This is the place where people look after me, and so that's why I'm in Brisbane. I know there are simple answers for some of you, that you're here because that's just, you're here. But keep thinking. Why are you still here? For me, it was university. I grew up 2.5 hours west of Brisbane in a little place called Dalby, and I still remember it was the year 1997. Yeah, so 21 years ago now, or something like that, that I drove with my parents from Dalby to Emmanuel College at the University of Queensland, and I remember arriving in my room. I remember it being a stinking hot, humid day. Unlike Dalby, I mean, it's stinking hot out west, but not humid, and so the humidity hit me. But it was also that excitement of leaving home for the first time at 17 and a whole new adventure. That is what brought me to Brisbane. I studied here, and then work kept me here. And I'm still here because of work. It was interesting. I don't know if you caught any of the news yesterday. You saw the Australia Day ceremonies happening around the place, and people being interviewed about why they became Australian citizens. And many of them were saying things like, I'm here, I came to Australia because of the opportunities. Better opportunities here than there were in my home country. Safer, more work prospects. It's possible that some of you are here, but you feel trapped here. Brisbane is not the place that you want to be. Maybe you were brought here for work at some stage, but your heart is somewhere else. Maybe you feel a sense of obligation to the company that employs you, or a sense of obligation to family, to be in Brisbane. Today I want to give us all a bigger reason than all the reasons that we've already thought about for why you're here in Brisbane. In fact, I would love you to consider this to be the main reason that you're here, not just a reason. And that reason was given in the reading that we just had and from the kids' talk as well in Acts chapter 17, where the Apostle Paul is speaking in Athens. It's a fairly famous speech in the book of Acts. And you might see the quote that I want to have a look at on the slides. If I do I just press this forward, or does that... it's coming up. Yep. Acts 17, 26 to 27. Let me read it out again to focus our attention on it. From one man, he, that is God, made all the nations that they should inhabit the whole earth. So God made humanity and he put them on the earth. He marked out their appointed times in history. So everyone is appointed their time, their 70, 80 years, and the boundaries of their lands, or their dwelling place in some translations. God, in his sovereign hand, has allotted times and seasons and living places and boundaries where nations, yes, but where individuals within those nations will be. Do you see the reason that he's done that? Verse 27, God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us. You see, God has placed people where he has placed people, not by accident. You are not where you are, living in Brisbane, in the street that you're in the job that you have, at the school that you're at, in the university that you're at, in the workplace that you're at, with the friends that you have, by accident. Most of the time we are busy with our own agendas, doing all sorts of things, but behind it all and through it all and over it all is a sovereign God who has placed people where he has placed them so that they might seek after him and find him. And so if you're here this morning and you're checking out Christian things and you don't really know where you are, perhaps you are seeking after Jesus, it's no accident that he brought you along this morning to hear about the God who is placing people where they are so that they would seek after God. And so I encourage you in that seeking, keep seeking. This is a great place to be. And for those who already trust Jesus, where God has placed you is in a position where others around you will be seeking to find him. Do you see the logic of that? That is a fascinating thought. You are where you are, not by accident. Let me share some of my own failures in all of this. We lived in Cinnamon Park for 3 years, and we had some neighbours. There was neighbours on our right, and he didn't look like me. He wasn't interested in the things that I was interested in, and I had kind of just written him off. He was into cars, and I tell you what, I know almost nothing about cars. My father-in-law is a mechanic. My dad would love me to know more about cars, but I know nothing about cars. I have very little interest in them. I'm very glad that there are mechanics and that they can look after my car. I'm very happy to pay them to do that. He was always out in his garage tinkering with his car, and I'm like, well, I just did not get to know him at all. I'd kind of written him off as someone to get to know. And now, this was a very quiet suburban street in Cinnamon Park. Let me tell you, there was a crazy time. I worked from home as a pastor preparing sermons, and there was this car that would park kind of just over the road from us, just up the hill from their house, and it would be there all day with the engine running and the air conditioning going. And I'm like, what is this car doing over the road from our house? And then it would go, and then a second car would come 10 seconds later and park in the exact same place and be there all day as well. And so this happened for 2 days. I eventually went over to my neighbour's house and said, hey, do you have any idea what this car is? We're only standing about 10 metres away from the car at the moment. We decided to go and talk to the people in this car, and they were the police on a stakeout at my neighbour's house. And it was only a few hours later that they had a full-on raid with the SWAT team coming and looking for someone in our house next door to us. So this was crazy stuff. I was out putting my bin out the night after that, and the neighbour was coming to put their bin out at the same time. I was like, what do I do here? I have a chat to him. I said, oh, there's a bit of activity at your place yesterday. And he's like, oh, yeah, that was my crazy housemate. He threatened the police, and now they've been after him, and he said some stuff he shouldn't have said to the police. We got chatting. It turns out he was a student at the University of Queensland, the same place that I, as a pastor, was trying to reach university students at. Talk about that for a failure of being realised that God places you where he places you, and there might be people around trying to seek and find him. I had written him off in my judgmentalism and my lack of compassion. I could tell other stories about my failures, but let's move on. Because one of the things we need to see if we are going to see things how God sees things is we need compassion from God. And so my second verse I wanted to show us, of the three verses we're looking at, is in Matthew chapter 9. So it'll be on the screen, but I'll flick to it in my Bible up here as well. Matthew chapter 9, Jesus is about to send out his disciples on their first missionary journey, and he's kind of preparing them for that. In Matthew 9, verse 36 to 38. When he, that is Jesus, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd.
Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. The workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Compassion. The word in the original is that idea of our insides, our guts being stirred up. It's a feeling that Jesus has here of deep compassion as he sees the state of the crowds. He describes them as being harassed and helpless. Harassed is like being bullied. The kids who are still in here and listening, I don't know if you've been bullied at school, but bullying at school or in the workplace is a terrible thing, isn't it? And Jesus sees these people as if they are bullied. We want to stop bullying, don't we? It's not a good thing when people are bullied. It's very serious. And they're helpless. People are powerless. They cannot help themselves, like sheep without a shepherd. If you know anything about sheep, without a shepherd, they're ready to be picked off, aren't they, by the prey around. When we walk around the place most of the time, and if you walk around the city where I spend a fair bit of my time, we see people as having it all together, as well-dressed, as successful, as happy, as having no need for God. I don't know if that in your workplace or with the people that you mingle or your friends at school. Most people, it appears that they don't need God, that they are okay, but Jesus sees people as harassed and helpless. They're believing lies. They think this life is all there is. They have no knowledge of the forgiveness of sin, the joy of knowing that their sins can be forgiven. When we get to know people better, we do realize that everyone has doubts and questions and insecurities and fears. And so what I needed with my neighbor back in Cinnamon Park was compassion and to see my neighbor clearly. And it's great in this passage that the first thing that Jesus does is not strategize and call a meeting, but he urges them to pray to the Lord of the harvest for more workers for the harvest. That's the prayer that I have been praying. We are trying to get some neighbours now in Jindalee, and he works in the city. We're trying to get to know them. It's very early stages of that. But it would be brilliant if there was someone in his workplace in the city who was also praying for him and trying to tell him about Jesus. I could tell you the story of my sister and my brother-in-law. They work at the University of Queensland. We are praying for them that they might know Jesus properly. And I would love it if there was a fellow harvest worker, a fellow worker in their workplace, maybe one of you. You look at them and you think, oh, they have no interest in God, but you just don't know that they have family members that are praying for them that they might know more about Jesus. You see, we are the bottleneck. And I firmly believe that if every Christian took this seriously, that God has placed them where they are so that others around them might be helped in seeking after God, then I think we would see a dramatic change across Brisbane and across the world as Christians took this seriously. We are the bottleneck. One of the things I love doing in my role with the City Bible Forum is I know someone who works in one workplace, and then I'm out and about and I meet someone and I find out that they work in the same workplace, and so I get them together. I send an email and say, "Hey guys, do you know that you're both Christians, that you work in the same building?" I did that for some people who worked at the Queensland Investment Corporation recently in the city, and also some others that work in Toowong Tower. It's fantastic to get people together so that they can start thinking together about how they might reach where they work together. The final verse I want to take you to is John chapter 4, 35 to 38. In John chapter 4, you may know it well. Jesus is speaking with a Samaritan woman. It's in the middle of the day, and they have a discussion. She eventually finds out that Jesus is the long-awaited Messiah that people have been waiting for. His disciples have gone to get food, and they come back, and they urge Jesus to eat something, it's hot, and he says, no, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. See, Jesus has this other agenda apart from just eating food. And then he says in verse 35 to 38, let me read it. I'll read from my version. Don't you have a saying? It's still 4 months until harvest. I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now the one who reaps draws a wage and harvests a crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, one sows and another one reaps, is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor. Lift your eyes, is what Jesus says to his disciples. As the disciples done that, they would have seen the Samaritans coming out of the town, because the Samaritan woman had gone and told them that she had found the Messiah, and they are coming to see for themselves. And Jesus says, look, the harvest is here, and it's actually not that hard. I know that speaking about Jesus to others is hard. But I also want you to see that there's more going on than just what you're doing. And in this story, Jesus is saying, look, the hard work has been done. The harvest is coming to you. And so let me tell you about another story about a guy called Phil who joined one of our prayer teams that we have in the city. He said something very typical, what most people do when they first join these teams. These are groups of Christians getting together to pray for others. He said, I have got no one that I could think would want to find out about God in my workplace. And so Scott, who works with us on the City Bible Forum team, who is an excellent coach, an evangelistic coach at coaching Christians to help them to see opportunities and to move forward with people, he said, well, why don't you just start praying for an opportunity? And so they did. It wasn't that long later that he was at some drinks after work, and the group got discussing about evil things that are going on in the world. And they were like, well, where does this evil come from? Why is the world an evil place? And this friend of his said, I think it comes from people, not from things outside. Now, they didn't have time to follow that conversation up, but later they were chatting in their workplace, and they got chatting, and Phil said, hey, look, I think the same. And then they got talking, and as it worked out, this non-Christian person, in his family, one by one, people had been becoming Christians. And he wanted to find out for himself what was going on. And so all Phil had to do was say, hey, would you like to read the Bible with me and find out for yourself? And he said, yes. And they did. And they did that for a year. And at the end of that year, that guy became a Christian. I'm not saying it always works like that. It might be that you, with the people around you, that you're the first link in the chain and that it is hard work, but there are people out there that God is at work in. And so we pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers. That's essentially what we're doing here today. It's a commissioning service for all of you that you might be workers in this great harvest of people coming to know Jesus. So why are you here in Brisbane? In the street that you live in, with the job that you have, with the friends that you have, with the school that you're at the university that you study at, God has brought you here to be part of his great plan that people, where he has placed them in his sovereignty, might seek for him, and that you might be there to help them, bring them to God. It doesn't matter if you're here for 6 months or if you've been living here for 60 years. I encourage you, in fact, I urge you to embrace God's plan and God's reason that he has brought you to Brisbane. Let me pray. Our Heavenly Father, please help us to see things your way, to see that you are the great missionary God, the great God who sends, who has a plan that people all over the world might seek for you and find you. May this truth penetrate our hearts and shape the way we view the mundane things, the everyday things that we do, where you have placed us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
See this map? That's where you, if you've put your dot in, work. This is where God has placed you. Even in the middle of Moreton Bay, I see. I'm not sure who that is, but it's been a pretty cool job. And God placed you there so that people of Brisbane would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he's not far from any one of us. Friends, we have heard this morning and been challenged. Now it's time to respond. Just for starters, let's just give a verbal assent. Let's just speak these words to each other to affirm that we are indeed missionaries sent out by God, placed in the places that we're in. This is the bit where I'll get you to stand, so would you please stand as far as you're able to, if you're willing to and able to say yes to these words, to affirm this idea. Just follow the first word. So if the question starts with "Do you?" and you're able to say yes, then say "I do." All right. If it says "Will you?" and you're able to, and you say "I will." Okay. Nice and simple. So people of ARPC, do you believe you have been led by the Word of God to go out, to go now and serve the Lord in your workplaces? I do. Will you now, in humble reliance upon God's grace, give of yourselves wholeheartedly to the work of Christ in your appointed places, in your appointed roles? I will. On behalf of this congregation, I now commend each and every one of you to this work and pledge to you the prayers of the people of this church, encouragement and support. May the Holy Spirit guide and strengthen you, that in this and in all things you may do God's will in the service of Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, I commend you, you and your brothers and sisters in Christ, whom we this day have commissioned to God's service as part of your continual sharing of Christ's great commission on earth. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and we rejoice to recognize one another as being followers, as being fellow workers of Jesus sent from our church. We thank you that you have dedicated them. You have dedicated us in service of your mission. May your blessing go with us. May the presence of Jesus through his Spirit go with us wherever we go. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Folks, go out and serve the Lord Jesus wherever you are. We're going to finish with our last song, Remain Standing. Musician's going to come up.
Please join us in singing the last song, In Christ Alone.
Thank you.
Well, folks, that's the end of our workers' commissioning service. Consider yourselves commissioned. Folks, I'm going to invite you to morning tea now. It's waiting for you outside. Please take the time to say g'day to each other. Continue on those lovely conversations you began during the service. And remember to ask each other all those same questions. What will you be doing during the week? What are the things that are challenging? And what are the things that you can pray for each other about that God will work in and through you as his missionary at work?